is a happy Sabbath indeed. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, one thing that you can separate from the Tongans is singing and food. It's just like that, you know. They can be just called up and they will stand up and make a song sound like that has been practiced for years. And what can top that? I love you, Arizona youth and brothers and sisters in Christ. We have come this far, not because of whatever you have done or whoever you may be, but we have come this far just because of Jesus. Amen. And because of his faith. And if there is a name that needs to be lifted up this morning, it is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a privilege and an honor for me to be here today, and I bring greetings to you all from the evergreen state of Washington and from Seattle, Seward Park Church. And it is good to be here. You know, I miss the cool air of Washington, but I enjoy the warm air here in Arizona because it just reminds me of where I am from. We are reminded every time that we come here how it is, feels like in Tonga. And I am glad to be here. And I am also glad to be and humble to be used by God this morning. Standing here and looking down, I only wish that you can have my view. Standing here and looking at all the beautiful faces, and it reminds me of what heaven is going to be like. Amen. I really see a diverse ethnicity here in Arizona, and Chandler, or whatever, I'm from Tonga, and sometimes I pronounce things, and I will try it three times, but it's still wrong. It comes out wrong. But this morning, I am glad to be the mouthpiece of God this morning. And, you know, I pray that he bring me to the foot of the cross. And as I decrease, as John says, that as I decrease, that he may increase this morning. And we are here as Tongan youth officers for our big camp that we held or host every year. And we go around states where we have Tongan folks, and just to remind them and to just bring to their attention what we are planning to, what we plan for them for that year. And this is our first youth rally, if you call it that, youth rally that we are here with all our young people and together with the church, that we are here just to bring to their attention and to get them ready and give them a little feature of what we are planning for them this year. And this year we are going to cover the character of God at our camp meeting. And that is a blessing in itself. Because I do believe that when you have a wrong view of someone, it's exactly the same as not knowing that person. You hear a lot with our friends and our loved ones from other denominations. You know, they say, you know, you are Seventh-day Adventist, we are this and we are that, but we all worship the same God. But I want to remind you as Seventh-day Adventists today, that when you have a wrong view of someone, it is exactly the same as not knowing that person. Whatever your view of God is, maybe we are not worshiping the same God. I'm excited about my message this morning, the message that the Lord has for us today, because I do believe that once you understand this concept of who God is, once you understand the nature of God, your view of yourself will never be the same again. your view of others won't be the same again. But most of all, your view of God will never be the same again. We spoke this morning about the great controversy, the war between good and evil. And you know, Satan has painted a picture of God that when we listen the name God, we have this fear within our hearts. You know, Satan wants you and I to think that God both uses both good and evil. You know, when something tragic or something bad happens to somebody, you know what we usually say? Man, the Lord is paying him good. But is that the God that you worship? That when we've done something wrong in this life, he's out there to get us? That is not the God that I worship. And so that is why we want to study this year about the character of God. Who God really is. And this morning, I'm going to speak about infinite intimacy. I have three requests to ask you this morning. Number one, pray for me. Because God is so awesome and he's so big that we need words to explain. So I want you to pray for me. Number two, I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray that you have an open mind that we may see and we may understand whatever God wants us to understand today. And number three, I want you to think. You know, there are many things that we wouldn't done if we take time to think. When we open the words of God, we need to think about what God is trying to tell us. Many of us, we open our mouth before we think. And there has been words that should have been spoken if only we take the time to think. And that is the free request that I have of you today. And I'm praying right now. I'm praying because I see that it's 5 minutes after 12, so maybe I would give it 15 minutes, but I had prepared myself for an hour. I will try and cram it to whatever that I can do this morning. So pray for me. Heavenly Father, I pray and I ask that you speak to your people today. There is a wonderful, marvelous information that you want us to understand. But it's not only about that information, Lord. I want us to experience a little bit about you. Give us the light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There was a huge revelation of God's love that came to me in a very small package. And I said, very big, huge revelation of God's love. We had Sabbath school and my daughter went to their Sabbath school. And when they came back, her and her little friend was holding hand and they came with a little piece of paper like this, you know, with the picture that they have to color at their class. And they came and they sat right beside me. And I could hear them start talking and talking about their little picture. And my daughter named Siokabesi with her little friend named Queenie. So Siokabesi goes, look, Queenie, that's you and that's me. So it's a picture of two little kids holding hands as they walk along the shore. And my daughter says, see, that's you and that's me. And Queenie said, wow, no, you know, that's you and that's your daddy. And my daughter says, no, that's you and me. And see, we holding hands. And Queenie said, why? Why are we holding hands? And my daughter says, because we like each other. We like each other. And then, you know, the sermon went on and the other little girl went to her mom. And I was just looking at my daughter, already knowing what she would think of. And I said, Bessie, Can I look at the picture? And she showed me, and she said, and I said, Queenie said that that's you and that's me. And with her little mind, understanding that she couldn't love two people, I said, no, Daddy, that's not you. That's me and that's Queenie. We love each other. And I said, no, that could be me. I said, no, Daddy, that's me and that's Queenie. We love each other. See, we hold hands. But it struck me. I was thinking to myself, could she love her with 100% of her little heart and still love me 100% with her little love, little heart that she has? How many people in this world, and I'm thinking of God now, does he love each and every one of us with the 100% of his heart? Or he divides it among ourselves? Ellen G. White put it this way, and I would like to bring this to our attention this morning. Infinite intimacy. And intimacy, a loving relationship. We only say intimate when it is almost just husband and wife. Why it can only refer to husband and wife? Because there is a loving relationship that only husband and wife can have, that intimacy. And that is why God is preparing a people that he can be intimate with you. That is who we are. A people that God is preparing for the wedding. That we are his bride. That we can have a loving relationship and intimacy that is endless. Infinite intimacy. Ellen G. White put this, this thought that I have here in a special way. In the book, Step to Christ, page 100, he says, the relationship between God and each soul are as distinct and full as though there were not other soul upon the earth to share his watch care. Not another soul for whom he gave his beloved son. I want you to think about that. God is saying here that his relationship between him and each soul, each one of you, you know, we know John 3:16. We say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. But this morning, I don't want that big whosoever, including everybody, to diminish the idea that God is looking at each one of us distinctly, in a special way. Yes, he loves everybody, but each one of us have a special heart, special part in his heart. And God is saying here, through the pen of inspiration, saying that the relationship between God and each soul are so distinct, meaning that it's so special, it is so different from anything else, and it's so full as though as there were not another soul upon the earth to share his watch care. Not another soul for whom he gave his beloved son. Meaning that he says, what he is trying to say here, that your relationship with God is so special that if you were the only one that sinneth in this life, he still sent his son to die just for you. As I have said earlier, that once we know and understand this about God, our view of him will never be the same again. If you were the only sinner, if I was the only sinner on earth, God will still send his son just for me. Think about that. That is so special that if I am the only one, he will still come and give up his all just for me. What a God that we serve. You know, because I understand this. I went to, you know, I usually don't travel with my wife. It's just financial issues. But at church, when I preach, among all everybody that is at the church, I know exactly where she sits. And sometimes she will play with me, and when I stood up, she will wink at me and stop that, you know. Or otherwise, she will send me a message just with her looks, and she will say, stop it now. You know, the idea of, you know, even though with however many people that are present, there is a relationship just between me and her. Among everybody else, I know exactly where she is at. And there is this theory that I know you are there and she knows that I'm here. And with the 7.5 billion of people in this world, God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you are thinking of. He knows exactly everything that he has for you. So my question this morning, how does God comprehend all the relationship that he's throwing at him? With the 7.5 billion people in the world, how does God comprehend all this intimate relationship? Let me put it this way. If you have 10 children, number one, the first question, why did you do that to yourself? But then after all that, do you love each one of them 100%? Or there is 10% for you, 10% for you, 10% for you? Just think about the God that we serve. And he loved each and every one of us. You know, my little daughter, she thought that she can only love one person at a time with 100%. But thinking of our God this morning, that he loved each and every one of us 100%. God is, it's hard to explain, but there is this strong and hard word to understand, but it will make it clear to us this morning. God is omnipresent, meaning that he is present everywhere at all times. He is everywhere all the time simultaneously, and God is omniscient. God just happened to know everything. Your thoughts, even before you speak, he knows and he understands. And God is omnipotent, meaning that God is all-powerful. It means that his energy never waves. God never experienced an emotional exhaustion because of the 7.5 billion people in the world. Therefore, God can handle all the relationship that can be given to him without diminishing of his energy and emotions. So, I would like to illustrate it a little bit here this morning, that God has an inner circle that each and everyone that is within his inner circle is as important and is as close to him. Like this. This is all of us. And we have an inner circle. Like I have my wife named Nani. And I have my daughter named Mele. And my other daughter named Siokabesi. My father named Devita and my mother named Mele. These are my inner circle. You know, they are close to me. I know them, and I know what they like, and I know everything about them. But then my daughter, Bessie, have a little friend named Gwynnie. And she has her parents named Joyce and whoever the father is. So my inner circle, I have Shoka Bessie. And I know Gwynnie likes pink. And I know a little bit more about her. But my relationship to her is through my daughter Shoka Bessie. So, and then she has her own inner circle that Shoka Bessie is part of. That is how we have relationship in this life. We have our inner circle. So when she is in pain, I feel it. And when Gwynnie has pain or experienced something tragic, I feel it just through my relationship with my daughter. So my point is this. The more love that you have for someone, the more pain that you experience when that person experiences pain. So, but then there is someone that we watch in the news that got hurt in Saudi Arabia. We feel it for that moment, and after that, we can go ahead and eat our cereal, and we forgot about that. Because the distance of the relationship that we have, more love that we have, more pain that we experience. And so this morning, I would like to bring to our attention that God is omnicapacity. He is capable of handling all this relationship that we have with him. And let's bring us to our scripture reading this morning, that in Isaiah chapter 63, and verse 9. A little background about the verse this morning. This is the children of Israel just coming through the wilderness. They have experienced all the heartaches and pain and the chaos and the craziness. But here, out of nowhere, Isaiah is lifting the veil for us to look into what happened in the heart of God during the Old Testament craziness. And in verse 9, he says that in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence, I have no time to prove this to you, but this, he's talking about Jesus here. When he's talking about the angel of his presence saved them in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and he bore them and carried them all days of old. So he is saying here that through their affliction, God was afflicted. When they feel pain and they experience pain, God feels it all. You know, we say that we love, but we don't. Because what love is? Love is when you put the safety, the well-being, and the happiness of others more important than yourself. It's when you put others more important than yourself. This is exactly what God did. He looked beyond our fault and he saw our needs. And put you and me, make you and me more important than himself. That's why he was willing to go to the cross and died, not only for 3 days, but he was willing to give up his life forever because of you and I. And when we think about God that way, the more love that he has for us, the more pain that he experienced. Just imagine that one of our children got hurt. Whoever the closest and the one that has most love, they are the ones who experience the most pain because of the love that they have. And we try to compare our love to the love of God. God has 100% perfect love. Last night, Sel was talking about, talking to our young people, our Tongan folks, and she talked about 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. He that loveth not doesn't know God, because God is love. He's not saying that God has love. He is saying that God is love. If we stop and we build all these things that we dress God with, all the omnipotent, the all-knowing, and the all-present, ever-present, if we build all this to get to the core and the heart of God, that is what we're going to find, that God is love. You know, the principle of non-contradiction, meaning that, you know, we say, yes, God is love, but then we say, God hates you when you do this. We say that God is love, but then, Satan is painting this picture of God that we accept in our mind. We say that God does this and he also does this. Satan wants us to think that God does use good, and he again use evil. When you are bad, he can punish you. He will do this to you. And that we accept it in our Christian faith. But God only gives, not only give good gifts, he only gives the he gives best. That is, good comes from God, and evil come from Satan. I'm closing now. Remember that story of Job? There was a meeting in heaven, God and his sons, and Satan showed up. And he said, Satan, where have you been? Where you come from? Satan says that I came from earth. You know, in his mind, this, the pen of inspiration, Ellen G. White says that this is God and his sons, meaning that these are the representatives from all the unfallen world. And Satan showed up. He says that I'm here from earth, meaning he's saying that I'm here to represent my earth. He has the claim for this earth. You know why? Because he has all the evidence. He has all the evidence that he is the ruler of this earth. He says, just look at them. They can be talking God, holy, holy, but just open up their heart and look into it. When they walk out that door, you know what they start talking about? How about that lady? How about that guy when he walked up? They are all mine. Meaning that most of us here in the world, we live by the principle of the evil one. He claimed this earth. But God says, hold on, Satan. Yes, you may be right. But do you realize I have somebody? I had someone there. Did you notice my servant Job? He is a righteous man. Even though that Satan is claiming this world that we live by his principle, but here God is still claiming and he is still working that he can use someone like you and me the way he uses Job. So God is asking for a Job to stand up in our days, in our time. God loves. each and every one of us. My point for this story was that Satan went ahead and did all these bad things to Job. But you know what Job said? It was a misunderstanding on Job's side. Job's mind. He says that, do you think we can only have good and not the bad from God? Because he thinks to himself that all these other bad things that happen come from God too. But we read the story, praise God for the word of God, that we understand it was not God who took away everything that Job had. It was the devil. It was Satan that took it away. And even Job said that he giveth and he taketh away. But you and I, we know that it was God who giveth, but Satan took it away. But that was how it was written. But God wants us to understand him for who he really is. That when we read things like that, we know who God is. We know that he is not a God who punishes and take away. Many times in our prayers at the funeral we say, God giveth and God taketh away. That is a picture that Satan is painting in our mind. And as long as we believe that, Satan is still winning. But I want to challenge us this day that we ought to understand and to know God, that he is love. God loves you. And just think of the pain that he experienced. Because his love is full and it's perfect and it's 100%. None of our love can compare to the love of God. His love for each and every one of us. And imagine God seeing all the pain in this world. Then you realize how painful for God. Every day he's experiencing this pain. Because every time that you feel this pain, it vibrates to the heart of God. He feels all the pain that we have. Pen of Inspiration says that not a sigh, you know what a sigh means? You know, it's the slightest form of discomfort when you see something bad happening. You know, not a sigh that is breathed or a pain that is felt, but all the vibrato of that vibrates the heart of the Father. Even that sigh that you see someone got hurt and you feel that, it vibrates to the heart of the Father. He experienced every pain that we feel. And if we love God that much, we don't want to hurt him anymore. Because that is what love does. When you love someone, you don't want to hurt them anymore. That is why God wants us to be victorious in this life. He has made us more than conquerors. And God is calling for people to have an intimacy. Final story. Both of my daughters, my wife, went through C-section. And the first time, I didn't know that it was that dramatic. You know, they build this little curtain right here, and then I hold her hands, and the doctors are working back there. And we can feel the movement, and she can feel the pain. And her body was starting to shake. And I was just holding her hand, and she goes, let's sing a song. And we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. We sing right through the whole procedure of the operation. And then after 7 years, we had the blessing from God for our second daughter. And it ended up, we were told that it will be a C-section again. You know, my prayer was, I was praying, God, I want to carry that pain. Can you give me a little bit of that pain? Why does she has to go through all this pain by herself? I wanna ask you, God, that if you can give me a little bit of that, give me some of that pain that I can feel. You know why? Because I love her so much. that I want to share her pain. And that is what God feels. He shares, not only shares, but he feels and he takes all our pain. And that is my prayer. But if we are in love with God, we don't want to hurt him anymore. Sin hurt him. Not only that, but when he sees you suffering, he suffered with you. Not only Jesus, but God the Father. May the Lord be with you today as we are introduced to this God that we serve. And I'm trying to repaint the picture that Satan has so ruined the picture of God. And a lot of us, we have this view of God. But it is my pleasure this morning that if we can only see him and accept that God is love, he is not a violent God. Violence comes from Satan. Then we will start to grow and to see him differently. Our view of him, of others, and of ourselves, we are special in his eyes. May God bless you. Amen.